Feeling good.
You sound good.
If I tell myself I'm feeling good, maybe I will be feeling good.
Yeah, it's like The Secret or some shit.
Yeah, what a load of garbage. The fact that I think it's a load of garbage is why it doesn't work. That's the true secret.
You didn't manifest it into reality. Yeah. That's your problem. Howdy, it's Wednesday, April 15th, 2026, and this is episode 277 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Eskin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
I just went to Walt Disney World for a week, and I'm back.
How was it?
It was good. I'm sad that I'm back, I have to say. I'm sad that
really?
It's over, and there was a lot of planning that went into it, and now it's done. And that part is sad, and there are things about it that I really liked. And so I have very similar feelings about it that I have right after a Vegas trip, which is mostly that I get this instant nostalgia where I want to book the next trip and go back.
That's quite surprising. So what did you like so much about it?
So one of the things like Vegas is everybody's there on vacation.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, there's no commuters and stuff.
Everyone's in the best possible mood, I feel like, while they're there.
Right, unless they're waiting in a two-hour line and it's 88 degrees and humid, or it's pouring, which also happened to us multiple times on the trip. I mean, I just think they do a really good job with all the theming and all the little areas and all the parks, and everything looks really cool and it's very exciting.
That is true. You do love that shit.
Oh, absolutely. My favorite. So just picturing all that stuff really makes me want to go back or do other Disney stuff. But in the moment, there were things about it that were extremely frustrating. Also, much like Vegas, first and foremost, every time you swipe a credit card, it's just ungodly expensive. Like, everything is unbelievably expensive. So much more than Vegas, by the way.
Swipe your credit card. Don't you have some wristband or some crap that you just touched everything and it...
No, because I wasn't staying in...
Oh, you weren't staying on property?
I was staying at the Dolphin, which is on property, but you cannot charge to the room because it's actually a Marriott.
Oh, no, it's obscenely expensive.
Obscenely expensive, and the quality of some of the stuff, especially the quick service food, is borderline criminal. The first night dinner that we had quick service at Magic Kingdom was horrifically bad.
Really?
We got the food out, and I was like, I can't believe that you served this, and it was like $80 for them for the four.
I always thought the food was fine there. And like, some of the food I thought was pretty good, frankly. We did some meal in Animal Kingdom. Is that even a place?
Yes.
Like the place with the safari? Yeah. It was like quite good, I thought, actually, like surprisingly good.
Animal Kingdom is where I'd say I thought we had our best on-property meal. Mm-hmm. We did the character breakfast at Tusker House, and that I thought was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say actually most of the buffets were pretty good. The service was kind of hit or miss, and so that's another thing I want to point out.
When I went, it was 2021, so they did not have buffets because you get COVID from buffets, as is widely known. You also could not take pictures with the characters. They would do it like perspective style, so you'd get your kids to stand like 5 feet in front of them, and then they would like make a pose so it kind of looked like they were together, but they weren't. It was good.
Thankfully, that's all sorted out. But yeah, I mean, I think Disney and Vegas also have this reputation for like fantastic service, and I don't think either of them are really living up to that reputation right now. And part of that, you know, I went at the absolute most crowded time during spring break. I mean, maybe between Christmas and New Year's is more crowded, but it was very packed. But, I mean, the place is meant to attract massive crowds, so I don't think that's a great excuse.
I'm surprised that you liked it so much, and you're like, the things you're trashing seem pretty important.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I think that the service is pretty good there, honestly, so.
In the moment, there were certainly times when I was there where I was thinking I never need to do this again. But,
right.
Honestly, there were times during a Las Vegas trip where I was thinking, I don't know that I need to do this again for 5 or 6 years.
I don't think I've ever thought that in Vegas.
I was pretty mixed about the Las Vegas trip, I think. But I think a lot of that was planning related. Like, I don't think we should have been as scattered as we were and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I have mixed feelings about Vegas. So you said, well, I'll let you say it yourself. How did you feel about your Vegas trip that was in, I mean, your Disney trip that was in 2021?
So I thought it's like a pretty well-run place. I mean, I think the nickel and diming is incredibly, incredibly impressive and extreme. You have to get your lightning pass,
Or
else you're going to do like 3 things in the park the whole day. So it's like you pay $100 and whatever to go to the park. You know, you pay like $20 a pop to ride rides in a reasonable amount of time. Food is incredibly expensive. We stayed on property at the Caribbean themed one.
Caribbean Beach.
Yeah, it was like a shitty hotel, and it was like $300 a night.
Yeah, I will say Dolphin was very nice. I liked the hotel a lot. I've looked more at some of the other hotels, and my feeling, unless you're going to the premium level or whatever it is, the hotels do not seem nice on property.
No, they're not nice. They're just not nice. And like, I thought the food courts were like perfectly nice, but again, the food's expensive. Everything's expensive. What are you getting out of it? Okay, little kids absolutely love it. We took our kids when they were like 5 and 3, and it was just absolutely perfect, I think, for them. So like, it's worth doing with kids of that age. By now, like, honestly, I don't think my kids would, Timmy would still like it. Isaac would be like, this is dumb. I don't want to be here or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my kids are 8 and 11, and they both absolutely loved it. Vivian actually loved it. She's 11. Loved it more than Holden. Holden was done by like noon every day. He was saying he wanted to go back to the hotel after lunch. So we had to beat that out of him.
The parks themselves are fine. It's very kitschy. It's, you know, I like riding rides, I guess. If I'm at an amusement park, I don't need to sit on It's a Small World.
Yeah, no.
Do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the rides, there's not much to them, right?
Right.
And there's not a lot of thrill rides, which I'm fine with because I don't want to ride any big roller coasters. But something like Hershey Park has way more big rides than the entirety of all four Disney World parks.
We did Busch Gardens twice last year. And like, yeah, I think it's just more fun, honestly, for me than going to Disney is.
Yeah, see, I really liked the experience. It's funny because I always sort of, we go to Vegas, we go to AC, and we leave the kids at home. And to me, that's part of the big experience of Vegas and AC is like, all right, this is my time to get away from the kids. But I really enjoyed seeing it through their eyes. And like, yeah, maybe some of these rides are not exciting in any way, shape, or form, but they're really loving it. We did Pirates of the Caribbean 3 times because they loved the little tiny, you know, 14-foot drop at the start of it. That's the level of thrill that they want in their lives. Yeah, I mean, all of that, I really enjoyed that. I would be, like, sad for them if we didn't go again. So I think we probably will go again. You said in the pre-show, like, oh, it's fine. You know, our classic it's fine thing.
It's fine. I mean, it's good for little kids. It's good if money is no object. When we went, my in-laws paid for it, so it didn't cost me anything.
That would be nice.
I don't know. It's fine.
I would actually disagree that it's fine. I would say it's either, when it's good, it's amazing. The things that they do well, they do so well. But the stuff that's bad is so annoying. Like the price and the lines and the heat and...
It's just the value that's bad.
And the value is just awful. I think it would be very different if you could do it multiple shorter trips.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't feel the need to do absolutely everything in one trip. And we have friends who do that. They go every year. They go multiple times a year.
I don't have that need ever, but I know that you have a compulsion that you feel like you have to do everything every trip, right, no matter what.
You know how I operate, but I think that's enough Disney talk, except here's a would you rather for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather go to Vegas every year or Disney World with the family every year?
Vegas.
It's funny because right now in this moment, I think if I had to choose next year, 2027, between going to Vegas and bringing the family back to Disney World, I think I would pick Disney World.
Interesting.
But I think I would be done after that. I think one more time and it's like, okay, that's the perfect amount of Disney. I went once and sort of learned a lot of the stuff that you need to learn, which is also, by the way, not a great thing to have to say about a vacation destination, is that you have to like learn how to do it.
Right.
While we were there, part of me was sitting there looking at all the Disney adults and thinking like, do all these people actually really love coming here all the time? Or do they just feel like they're better than other people at it? And so they keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like some people's thing or like part of their persona or whatever. So you kind of have to do it.
I mean, I think there are Vegas people who are the same. Like it's part of their persona, but also they feel like they're just better at doing Vegas right, in quotes, than other people. And that's why they want to go all the time or why they have a YouTube channel.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
It's snobbery, Kyle. It's everyone is just being a snob, except me.
I don't get it. If you want to have a good time, I'll tell you what I was really impressed with. If you want to spend even more money, we did a Disney cruise last year, I think, and it was very nice. It was legitimately very, very nice.
And I've heard the service on the Disney cruises.
The service was incredible.
Yeah,
it is very good.
I don't really ever want to do a cruise, but I don't know. Maybe I could be convinced.
I mean, it's 3 nights or whatever. It's easy. You can kind of see everything on the boat. No, I thought it was great. I thought it was much better than going to a park. Like, I personally do not ever want to go back to a Disney park.
I don't want to be out in the middle of the ocean, I'll say. I don't like it.
Okay. Well, I can't help you then. So you shouldn't do a cruise if that's what you don't want.
So that's the Disney talk. This is a Disney podcast now, by the way, in case you didn't take that away from my always once.
It would help our numbers, probably.
Now going, oh yeah, all the top travel podcasts. I'm pretty sure if you look.
Or Disney. I think the top 2 at least, right?
Back when we started the podcast, if you went to Apple's travel and leisure lists, it was like Disney, 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 500 by 500,
yeah.
Disney. Yeah. Anyways, that's Disney talk.
I think we're officially done. So, yes, I'm going to Vegas next year. You're going to Disney. That's what we've decided in the Would You Rather.
Yep. And so we have to split off the podcast into a Disney branch. No, I have no interest in doing.
You apparently do. That's what we've been talking about for 20 minutes.
Yeah. This is our one Disney episode. I think there's a lot of overlap, though. I think a lot of, well, Vegas people especially. I think there are a lot of people who do Vegas on their own time and then do Disney with the family. I think it's a similar, attracts a similar sort of person, which sounds insane because of what Vegas is and what Disney is.
Maybe not. It's like a thing that you can learn. It's popular to, like, talk about how to optimize. I don't know. It doesn't seem that insane that it attracts the same kind of people. I mean, they're both super kitschy and, like...
They are. That's what I love the most about it. Vegas and Disney. Just the kitsch. Mm-hmm. Full-on kitsch. So, the news that we have, number one, Irish pub still closed.
Surprising.
How pessimistic do you feel as time goes on?
Not super optimistic. If I set the over-under of July 4th, what would you say?
Over.
I would say over, certainly. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty pessimistic, right?
I mean, we just haven't heard anything. And right. There's no indication that anything's being done. People get very bad online if you hint that maybe Irish Pub
is not coming back.
Could potentially not come back. There's been some very angry posts. Like,
the people don't like that?
Yeah, the people do not like that, including, I think, several other bar owners in Atlantic City. I don't know why. That's the Irish Pub news. We'll obviously keep checking on that. We got a press release. They sent it directly to us. No, they didn't. But it got posted in multiple media outlets verbatim. So it must have just been a press release because I saw the same exact text in at least two places. That Golden Nugget has added a Lightning Link Lounge near Bar 46. And apparently this is a very big deal. I actually thought the bigger deal came later in the press release, which is that they've updated the main atrium, which, you know, if you walk into Golden Nugget, I would argue it's the main interior design feature of the Golden Nugget as a whole. You know, the thing with all the baubles in it. They've added new carpeting and lighter finishes for a more modern experience. A more modern appearance. Sorry, they didn't say experience. They didn't go full press release. So I'm interested to see that, because I actually really like that atrium. I think the first time I walked in, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And just, like, nicer than I was expecting for that property. But I'm interested to see what they did there.
Does it remind you of the Trump Castle game, where it's like the opening screen is like the atrium, right?
And it looks exactly the same as it did before this refresh.
Indeed.
The Lightning Link Lounge, they had some pictures. I'll link to silive.com, an article that has a couple pictures of it. They've also, like, put some wallpaper skin around Bar 46 with some buffalo stuff on it. And it looks like there's game titles and stuff all over the walls. I think it looks tacky as shit. And Bally's did this also. They made a big Lightning Link Lounge over where the video poker used to be. I think, did they get rid of that? To me, it just looks bad. It just doesn't look nice to have these temporary wallpaperings of all this Lightning Link, Mo Mummy, all these game names. I think it just looks kind of tacky and takes me out of the experience.
No,
keep that on the machine, is what I'm saying. Have you looked at the picture?
No, I'm looking at pictures of... Apparently, there were three Trump Castle games. How did I not know that there were so many?
You're doing it wrong. You need to be looking at the picture in the link to see all the Raging Bull, Mo Money, Dollar Storm stickers that are now all over the Golden Nugget, Atlantic City.
Okay, fine. But as punishment, you're going to get a G-Chat, which is exactly what our listeners like to happen in the middle of an episode.
I mean, they never hear it because I'm such a good editor.
What am I supposed to get from these pictures? They look like pictures of a casino. I hate this buffalo thing on right. top of the bar or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. I think it looks so tacky yeah. to have those stickers on there. It's awful.
It's bad. It's terrible.
Maybe it doesn't look as intrusive as it does in the picture, because the picture is really just trying to fit in as much of the branding as it possibly can. And maybe it's sort of not as predominant as it seems in the picture, but I don't really like it. And I remember when Bally's did it, walking in there and being like, this looks like something that's at a really cheap, crappy casino.
You have a message? It's from Trump Castle 2, apparently.
Oh, look at those. Look at that fountain. Wow. Oh, my.
It's good, right?
The graphics. That's impressive. All right. Well, moving on from Trump Castle 2.
Trump Castle 3. You're right. It's time to...
No. The other piece of news, I believe the only other piece of news that's worth talking about, is that the owners, I believe, of Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall and various other things in that area have gotten a building permit for the container park that's been talked about for a while over around Tennessee Avenue in the Orange Loop. So hopefully that starts moving forward. The Facebook post says the plans have been finalized. We're ready to break ground in the next couple of weeks. This was actually in March, a little over 2 weeks ago. They have committed tenants. So hopefully this gets moving forward, and I'm interested to see what this is like. If this is done well, I mean, there's Container Park in downtown Vegas. I think this could really make it even more worth popping off the boardwalk for that area around King's Pub, Irish Pub, you know, if that ever reopens, Cardinal and all that stuff. So I think this is great, and hopefully it looks cool and works out.
Yeah.
I would think this kind of stuff goes up pretty fast.
Yeah, it should. I know I've been to, I think there's one in like downtown Wilmington I've been to. Beautiful downtown Wilmington. But yeah, I mean, I think it could work. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So that is the Container Park news. And then I think we're just into the mailbag. There's no more news.
All right. So according to you, friend of the pod, Refrigerator P, was messaging you on X about his happy hour tour last week. He said he went to Moments at Scanicchio's. How would you say that?
It's got to be Scanicchio's, right?
I have zero Italian cred, so I have no idea.
Oh, I have less than zero, so.
You live in New Jersey, in New York, though. So
let's get Vinny Chenz on here to tell us how to pronounce Moments at Scanicchio's.
I know, he would tell us. Which I have heard of. You say you've never heard of it.
Right.
They have 3 to 6 p.m. happy hour. Yeah, I should check it out. I know it's come up, certainly, while I've been searching for places to do dinner in the past.
It's kind of far off the boardwalk, right?
It's pretty far off the boardwalk, yeah, but it has good reviews. He also says he went to Angelotti's Club Madrid, said he went to Nobu, and said I undersold it, which I don't think is possible, because I sold it in the highest possible terms, I thought.
I think he was just blown away, is the way I took that. He said it was even better than your high, high praise, so.
Truly incredible.
It's one of the biggest things I'm looking forward to for the next trip, is this, the Tudoshi Hour.
Which we need to talk about, because it sounds like our plans may have changed from what I was hearing yesterday. Super Freako, he said he had a $12.99 High Wire cocktail and a $9.99 Pool Boy. I'm not familiar with either of those cocktails, but sure.
So I'm pretty sure the High Wire is the espresso martini that I at one time said was the best cocktail in Atlantic City. The Pool Boy is like their signature cocktail. It's tequila and passion fruit and vanilla and I don't know. But those prices are much cheaper than the previous happy hour prices at Super Freako. Super Freako's happy hour used to be like barely a happy hour. So It's good to see that they've got some real discounts there.
And then he also went to, famous on the pod for being closed at 10 p.m. when the sign said it was open till 2 a.m. or whatever, Lily's, a golden nugget. So
yes, his message with Lily's was that it is actually open, and that was at 6:30 p.m. on a Friday. So you would certainly hope that it would be open. But yeah, he said it had a good happy hour.
Still have never been. I mean, I know once I was bugging you because I really wanted to go when I was incredibly drunk, and you shut me down. And then, of course, we tried to go the second time, and it was famously closed at 10 p.m. on a Sunday.
Yep.
9 p.m. maybe on a Sunday. I don't know. Early on a Sunday.
But I'm happy we're inspiring people to do happy hour tours.
Yeah, love it.
You know, we talked about the terrible value at Disney. I think there's such good value in Atlantic City at these happy hours, especially. And it's almost to a point that I just never want to eat a regular dinner. I would rather just go to these happy hours and do this and try multiple different places, especially because we go on really short trips. So being able to do, you know, instead of getting a dinner and a breakfast, you get 3 or 4 restaurant experiences in that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten in. So.
Mm-hmm.
Best way to try stuff.
All right, so we've got some more questions from Pat G as well. I guess probably not more questions, but questions we didn't get to last episode.
Yeah, I think we're going to save even some of the questions for next time. So,
yeah, well, I know some are about data, so we need to wait for that. So Pat G says, I prioritize entertainment value, and a big part of that value is people watching. AC's a natural fit. Variety in a casino environment helps. Craps and AC's even better. A podcast about AC for when I'm not there keeps the pilot light lit, and then some. Do either of you enjoy AC for that aspect of entertainment value? I think Kyle, no, and Craig, yes. I don't know. What do you think?
Certainly Vegas is better for people watching.
I agree. Yeah.
AC is not bad.
Well, it's different. I don't know if I would say Vegas is better, but it's different. I mean, people are like acting more ridiculous, certainly, in Vegas, I feel like.
Right.
I feel like AC, it's more like local people, you know, they might come out semi-regularly or whatever. When people go to Vegas, they're like, all right, this is my like one time this year to like truly go insane.
Right. The people are just dressed more insanely in Vegas. I mean, certainly most of the people in Vegas are just dressed in a t-shirt and shorts, but
right.
You see more just crazy people dressed for clubs, people dressed to the nines, people doing odd stuff to try to get tips on the strip. Where you don't really get that so much in AC. In AC, I think it's more, you know, the boardwalk, people watching, you're more watching in sort of like, oh my. That's the best way I can describe it. Sometimes you see people on the boardwalk, you're just like, oof, that looks rough. So that's not fun people watching. But when it's nice out, actually, in the summer, I think it's actually pretty good. We go so often in midweek off-season, but I think when it's nice out, it's actually really good for people watching. It is a bunch of people on vacation. It's people on the boardwalk that, you know, this is their beach vacation. And so I think it's actually good for that. I wouldn't say it's like a top-tier people watching destination. I mean, I commute into New York City every day, and the people watching New York City is also amazing. So
yeah,
I don't think I can rank AC that high.
You get an interesting mix in casinos in general. I think it's a place where much more of society mixes than like most other places. You have people like truly from every rung of the economic spectrum inside casinos. So, I mean, I think it is a pretty neat place to see people. And
I think knowing AC as well as we do, my favorite sort of people watching in AC is knowing who you expect to see at a casino. And then when you see somebody who is just totally doesn't fit, right? Like if you're at Bally's and you see somebody who looks really well-to-do, you're kind of like, what? Like, we've been at Golden Nugget multiple times where there's, like, a very attractive young person.
There you go. I was waiting for you to get to what you had in mind, actually.
And it's like, why is this person here? Like, how did this transpire? I mean, I would feel similarly about resorts, because, like, I mean, I've never actually seen that at resorts.
I don't think I have ever seen that at resorts. I have at Bally's, I think. But
yeah, so that's kind of funny. And Tropicana actually has pretty good people watching because it is more clubby. And so like the kind of people who are going to Boogie Nights is very different. One thing I always find really funny is if I'm over playing video poker by Boogie Nights and there are a bunch of like clearly 21 to 23, 25 year old dudes decked out like suit or, you know, wearing the suit vest and like really nice clothes. And it's like, this is not that kind of place, dude, but, you know, do it. Go all out. So yeah, I mean, the people watching is fine. There's interesting stuff to see for sure.
All right. So Pat G wants to know, you're 50-ish in a decade, I believe. What does AC look like? Base case, optimistic case, pessimistic case?
So we'll be 50 in 2033.
Yeah. I'd say base case, probably largely the same, but like minus 2 to 3 casinos, honestly.
I could see not necessarily minus 2 to 3 casinos, but sort of swapping. I could see a sort of just a shift of, you know, Golden Nugget closes, but something else either takes its place or knocks it down and builds something else, or Golden Nugget closes and something else opens on the boardwalk.
Really? So your base case is more optimistic than mine. I would say 7 would be my base case for sure.
I think that's a little pessimistic.
Mm. My pessimistic case is like
3, 4
or something. Yeah.
The big case for the pessimistic side is
New York, I think.
Not just New York, but New York casinos opening and doing gangbusters and drawing a lot of people from North Jersey, and then Jersey finally folding on the North Jersey casino thing, and then you end up with a casino in like Jersey City and Meadowlands. And I think that would be just a crushing blow. Because also, you know, the slippery slope of that is if you open a casino in Meadowlands or Jersey City, eventually it's just going to be everywhere, right? There's no reason to say, oh, well, Atlantic City has casinos and Meadowlands can have a casino, but nowhere in between. Like, that's just not how it's going to work. So the pessimistic case is really bad. And yeah, it's like you said,
yeah,
3 casinos on the boardwalk in Borgata, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think that's the pessimistic case. Ocean, Hard Rock, Borgata, and like Caesars or something.
I don't think that's 2033. I don't think that's in the next 10 years.
I don't think that's going to happen either by 2033. I think that's perhaps too pessimistic. Like 5. Maybe 5 is pessimistic, 7 is base case, and 9 is optimistic.
You can't make any optimistic case for another casino opening?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Showboat is there. Like, it's possible, right? There is literally a building built that could be a casino.
I can't see it opening without a swap. I can't see it opening without it forcing something else out.
I agree 100%. Not only are the casinos largely the same in the optimistic case, I think hopefully like more local businesses get built up and stuff too, and maybe some things happen to make AC like a bit more of an interesting place to be.
Yeah, I think that's the optimistic case. It's not the addition of casinos. It's the addition of more interesting things on the boardwalk. It's the addition of the things like the Container Park where there's more stuff a block out or 2 blocks out from the boardwalk where you're interested in going out. There's more restaurants. We're seeing the creation of more restaurants. I think in the last 10 years, we've seen more interesting stuff, or maybe we've just had our eyes open to it. But, you know, stuff has opened since we started the podcast, certainly, that is interesting and worth getting out of the casinos for. You know, Angeloni's Club Madrid, the entire Orange Loop, Little Water Distillery, The Seed. I think there's a lot of stuff that's happened, and I think the optimistic case is that accelerates significantly in the next 10 years, and you see a lot more of that stuff. And that, actually, I think would even if you end up with 8 casinos, the optimistic case, that's a really positive view of Atlantic City, and I think would make Atlantic City a much better place to visit.
I mean, I do have to say, like, there is some world where people end up with a lot more free time in some years because we're working less because computers are working more or whatever. And, like, maybe these big recreational destinations become a bit bigger. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I can't imagine what the world in general is going to be like in 2033. So
we have so much free time because AI just does the podcast for us.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think we could probably basically do that now.
Yeah, but
the technology exists. So maybe, who says we aren't?
That's true.
All right. Why porn slappers in Vegas but not AC? We have the venues and the shady guys to slap. Yeah, I think they have all of the like requisite raw materials in AC for slappers, but I don't know. I think it's probably a couple things. Like, there's not the pure number of people going through to necessarily make it worth it to, like, print these cards and pay people to hand them out. You know, you'd have to get at least reasonably brisk business to do that. Where is it going to be? It's, like, only the boardwalk makes sense for these people to exist, and, like, I suspect that the ambassadors or whatever would frown upon that, honestly.
I'll give you a different reason. I mean, foot traffic is probably the biggest reason.
I mean, I think it is mostly foot traffic, and people go to Vegas and they're like, I'm going to go crazy or whatever. And like the way that they don't necessarily in AC. I mean, could people be going to AC looking for, you know, like escorts that these porn slappers
are
selling?
People are.
Like, yeah, I'm sure they are, but not quite to the same level as Vegas, I think.
Yeah, and I think the biggest reason is actually that prostitution is legal in Nevada, even if it's not legal in Paradise.
I mean, yeah, okay.
And nobody thinks prostitution is legal anywhere in New Jersey. So I think there's sort of this sense of, oh, you know, this is sort of possible here. Where in AC, I don't think anybody's like...
Only a nerd would say that. Like, I don't think that's it at all. You think someone's like, I'm going to get an escort in Las Vegas because maybe it's legal, but like I wouldn't do it in New Jersey because it's not?
No, I'm saying the advertising is more, they're more able to advertise it because it's legal within minutes, whereas there's not anywhere.
It's not legal there.
But it's easily legal close by.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that's it. I think it has to do with, one, the amount of traffic, and two, like, the amount of people looking for that in AC when they're there. Also, like, half of AC, people who visit in the summer, it's like families. It's not necessarily the greatest situation for that.
That. Right. And I think the people who are not families stay in the casinos. They don't wander as much. The people you see wandering on the boardwalk in the summer are generally the families. It's not the degenerates
I have to say, and like maybe I'm naive for as often as I've been in AC, but in Vegas it's impossible to escape the prostitutes.
Yes, they're everywhere.
You can't do it. Just people approach you all the time, no matter what. And I really have not had that experience in AC at all, so yeah. It just might be a different situation.
I've had a couple in AC, but yeah, I mean, if you're sitting at a slot machine at 2 a.m. in Vegas and...
Yeah, like someone will sit next to you.
Some woman will come up and sit next to you, yeah.
Yes.
Like 100%. So I think we should start the porn slapper business, I think, is the main...
All right, yes, the casino and porn slapper biz podcast.
We can just make the sound the whole podcast, like the whole throughout the podcast. People would get really annoyed about that.
All right, Pat's final question for this episode. AC respects the other states, not just the street signs, but also in Boardwalk Hall. They have medallions for every state, along with the year incorporated, along the upper interior perimeter. Really neat. Have you noticed them? Any thoughts or insight into origin? The love for other states is surprising for the insular defense of New Jersey I grew up in. I've never actually been in Boardwalk Hall, so I have not noticed.
I don't think I remember noticing the state stuff. There is a lot of sort of country pride in Boardwalk Hall that I found kind of surprising. Similarly, because I would have expected just New Jersey pride. And obviously, yeah, you know, you get Tennessee Avenue, Maryland Avenue, New York Avenue, California. There's just tons of states named in streets in Atlantic City. I wonder how much it has to do with at the time these things were built and the streets were named, AC felt very much like it was a national destination, which it probably never was, right? It was very much an East Coast destination. But I think it had designs on maybe being a big national, you know, the world's playground. So maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it's just every sort of monument of anything is playing on states' names everywhere. it's not any more complicated than that.
All right. So thank you very much, Pat G. So Table Games James says, Kim and I are considering getting an EV. We'll have to charge it on the way to AC from Central PA. For Kyle, talk about parking at the Noise Arts Garage for his charging. Kyle, can you talk more about charging your EV to from AC and while you were there? Yeah, I can say a little bit, I guess, in general about EVs, just for people who are interested. I got mine in 2021. It's actually a model year 2020, so it was very cheap because I wanted to get rid of it. I'd say these days it's pretty easy to charge to and from places. There's more and more fast chargers or level threes or whatever you want to call them being built everywhere, especially at gas stations where it's not a big deal to go for 20 minutes and buy a food and use the bathroom and then leave. My EV is very old, so it charges very slow compared to new EVs. But yeah, I think with new ones, it's literally 10 or 20 minutes and you can be ready to get on your way. Yeah, depending on how far it is, you might be surprised. You may not need to charge to and from. You might just be able to charge in AC. Noyes Arts Garage, the chargers are free. You just have to pay for the parking, and they're basically always available. Maybe if you get there on like a Saturday night or if there's some conference or something, it might be tougher. But yeah, no problem with charging in Noyes Arts Garage. A couple of the casinos have chargers. I know Golden Nugget does. I've heard rumors that Hard Rock does, but I haven't used them. It's really not that hard these days. It was much harder when I first got it.
Yeah, I think that's the big question for someone who looked into owning an EV is just how convenient is it? You know, your drive's, what, about 3.5 hours,
uh-huh,
right, to AC. Say you've got to do a little longer than that. Is it hard
to find
the EV? Yeah.
No, it's not hard. I mean, there's like plenty of apps and stuff. And, you know, honestly, my car goes 300 miles on a charge, like at least close to it, at least during the summer. During the winter, it is much less, you know, maybe 30% less. So that's something you have to get into your head a little bit, that just your mileage will be drastically different times of year because batteries famously do not like cold weather. But no, it's pretty easy to get a charge. And like I said, if your destination, if you know where you can go and charge, for me, I just go and park it at the Noyes Arts Garage overnight, usually the first night, and then it's full again the next day because they just have level twos there. So for me, I'll fill up after 10 hours there or whatever.
So would you say an EV is the ultimate Atlantic City vehicle?
I don't get it.
I don't know either. The one thing that you have to keep in mind if you get an EV, though, is that you need somebody to drive it back to the casino for you.
From the Noyes Arts Garage every time, yes.
When you're too drunk to drive it. So just keep that in mind.
That's right. It always works out, though. So
it does, somehow. Usually you have to pay the fee of one McFlurry for the driver.
Oh, I mean, I pay the fee of one McFlurry for everyone in the car. That's just only fair.
Yeah, good point.
And frankly, half the time, even when I don't drive people, I still pay the fee of one McFlurry to everyone I'm with.
McFlurries are good.
Oh, that's real good. Yeah, I had ice cream last night at the baseball game. It was good. Wasn't a McFlurry, though.
Was it in a helmet?
No, I got a waffle cone.
Mm, it needs to be in a helmet.
I don't need more tiny helmets. All right, final question from Tom L. In light of the talk last pod about funding some projects for the three-tier casino changes, I thought about a possible addition to that question. Pretend you run the CRDA, but it's 1996, and you have the knowledge of how AC in Vegas has done in reality the last 30 years. AC has just had a huge run of great success in the 80s and 90s. What would you have done differently to improve AC from what it is today, knowing that surrounding states will all have gambling in the next decade? Maybe something specific instead of vague, make nicer restaurants and shopping. So I'm just reading this question for the first time, so I think you can answer while I think about it.
Yeah, so the way I'm reading this question is, we are effectively running CRDA in 1996.
We're despots in 1996.
But we know what's happened until now, right? So we have that knowledge of 1996 to 2026, but we're going back and able to change something. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just the zoning. Everything was zoned for mega development in the 90s and 2000s and 2010s. And so there's really no room for any smaller development on the boardwalk or near the boardwalk. And I think that was just such a misstep in retrospect, like knowing what we know now, to not have anything but casinos and teacher shops on the boardwalk.
I mean, I think it's hard to, okay, within the bounds of this question, yes, that's obviously true. I think it's hard to like judge people negatively for that, given that if you look at the strip, it also basically doesn't have, it's exactly the same, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it made sense at the time. I think when they were looking at it and they were thinking, like, this is going to be the most expensive casino property in the world in 10 years because of how much money Atlantic City is making. Why would we let anyone build anything that's not a mega casino? Like, it made sense at the time. But in retrospect, we know that it was a mistake.
And, like, not only that, but we're basically going to be the strip, but with the ocean instead of being in the desert with oppressive heat.
Surely in 1996 was what, 5 years after Taj opened?
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to bet that people at that time thought that Atlantic City was going to be bigger than Vegas.
Well, for one, it was. But for two, like,
well, I mean, gambling revenue-wise, but it wasn't like the massive, well, I guess the strip has changed a lot in the last 30 years, too.
It's a tough thing, too. Like, what you really need to do, I think, is sit these casino executives down and be like, look, we need to all be investing in the city. We need to be investing in shared infrastructure. We need to make this bigger than your individual casinos. And that sounds nice in theory, but if you look at the actual people, you know, famously, Donald Trump and Steve Wynn, not great about thinking about other people and looking beyond themselves. So, like, I don't know how effective it would be. I mean, of course, you can just tax them and then do it yourself. But you really do need to build out this shared experiences, like try to encourage them to build places in their casinos that will draw people in beyond people who just want to put money in the slot machine, like the conservatory at Bellagio, like the fountains.
It's interesting that nobody really did that in AC. And I think there was just such a rush to build in AC at that time and just to cash in.
Right. Every single square foot, if you put a slot machine there, it was just going to make tons of money. So,
right. But it's funny that no one ever built, yeah, like a conservatory sort of thing the way there is at Bellagio. Or
I mean, there's like kind of one at Borgata, sort of, no. But not really. there's not. Yeah, no, there's really not.
I mean, there's some interesting interior decoration stuff in Borgata. There's interesting stuff to look at, but it's nothing on that scale. Like, there's nothing where you're like, oh, you need to go to Bellagio to check out this feature.
Right.
That's not anywhere. I mean,
right.
If anything, the closest thing I would say is Christmas time at Tropicana, where they decorate certain parts of it pretty big.
Yeah.
But that's not year-round.
That's sad when it's like your big draw is Tropicana.
Right. I mean, the Quarter, I think the Quarter did a lot of things right. Maybe still does a lot of things right. But
it did. Yeah.
I guess it just comes down to, at the time, everyone was making tons of money. There was competition, but it wasn't like Vegas, where there's just so many casinos. And you really, everyone who opened was trying to create something that would be the biggest, best thing in Vegas. It was just like a rush to get something open. And then I think Taj Mahal maybe was the first thing to open that was really like, this is going to be the biggest, best thing. But it was still just as much casino floor as you could possibly get, right? Like, it looked interesting on the outside, but then once you got inside, it was just tons of casino floor.
I think the Taj was sort of that try to like attract people from outside or whatever. I mean, it didn't work out, but
I mean, it was the number one grossing casino in the number one casino market for a long time. It's just that it had so much junk bond debt that it had to be the number one grossing casino or it was going to go bankrupt.
Well, I mean, it did go bankrupt, so.
Right, yeah. So financing is important.
Yeah. Now it's the wonderful Hard Rock, so.
So I'm not sure if we really answered that question in detail.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just, you know, perhaps you can email us back and say that we're still being too wishy-washy and not being specific enough. But you do need to build out interesting shared infrastructure. You need to plow money into people like Mark Colazzo, who are doing like interesting things for the city, I think.
I mean, I think something that they could have changed earlier, and so much of it is just waiting too long to change things like the zoning and also the 500 room rule, which I think even if you really tried to change that now, I think you would get a huge fight from the existing casinos. But the ability to have some boutique stuff on the boardwalk or just off the boardwalk.
Right. Like famously the Hard Rock that wanted to open.
Yeah, at the old Chelsea, right? I think would have made a big difference. At least get some smaller investors in who are willing to try things.
No, I would have been interested.
And none of that really happened until shit went south, right? Like none of that happened until like, what, 2010, 12, 14, when stuff started closing left and right? So I think that just acting faster on those things and not sitting around hoping that tides would change and things would get better. Yeah, they just waited it out too long after seeing casinos open in Connecticut and Maryland and Pennsylvania. And they saw tourism start to go down in general and just not reacting to that and creating avenues for more development and just sort of waiting and hoping that someone would build the next Borgata on the boardwalk is just such a failure. And so that, I think from the CRDA perspective, it's those rule tweaks that they didn't make. But yeah, within the casinos, having them make something where people go out of their way to go to your specific casino, not just because it's the nicest casino.
Right, but because it's like interesting to see or whatever. There's something to draw people in.
I think Vegas even recently has gotten away from that.
I think so. I think they've gotten away from it.
Yeah, they were doing like crazy theming. Like you had to go see the Luxor Pyramid. You had to go see Excalibur. You had to go see, you know, and then later it was Bellagio Fountains and Bellagio Conservatory and all that stuff.
We'll see what happens when the Hard Rock opens, maybe.
Right. Maybe, but like, is there anything you need to see at Fountain Blue? Is there anything you need to see at Resorts World? Like, not really. Like, they're big casinos with lots of interesting stuff, but they're built to be these like mega resorts that just suck you in and take your money.
I agree.
And like, you're supposed to eat and gamble and go to shows and do everything at the casino. Yeah.
They're very nice, but yeah, there's nothing specific drawing you in.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that's ever going to happen because I don't think that's the way that casino planning has gone.
All right. So our final topic is, when are we going to AC? I had it on my calendar that we were going to be there in a week and a half, but it seems like that might not be happening.
Yeah, so I believe after last episode, my brother messaged us saying, hey, we need to figure out a time when I can go to Atlantic City. And we've talked about this. He's been very off Atlantic City, and we even had a question as to why in one of the more recent mailbags.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been in a few years, I think, or 2 years at least. And so,
yeah, a couple of years, it seems like.
Getting him back in meant, I think, shifting a little bit. I don't think he could do that 26th date that we were talking about. So the date that we have penciled in is May 6th to 7th. So it's a Wednesday to a Thursday. I think there's a possible fallback date of the same timing of the following week, but current plan, May 6th to 7th.
Right. I can find out. It should be fine.
So make all your plans. You know, I know that it's super convenient for anybody who is trying to get down.
Yeah, it's listening to go on a Wednesday to a Thursday.
Wednesday to Thursday night. Last time we went, I believe, was also Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, I think so.
In February. So we'll see how a Wednesday in May compares to a Wednesday in February. Got to do Snoshi Hour. I assumed as soon as Paul said he wanted to go, I was like, okay, I want to stay in Ocean. He really likes Ocean. Surely that's the end result here. And I asked him if he wanted to stay in Ocean, and his response was not necessarily. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means Borgata. I don't know if he's so intrigued by the Tenoshi Hour that he's just like, let's stay in Caesars.
Yeah, I got to. I mean, I might stay down there because I have to match to
Bally's
Superstar anyway to kick off everything I'm going to be doing this summer. So
yeah, so we'll see about all that. We have one more episode probably before that date comes. So hopefully by that episode, we'll have some more concrete plans. But you know us, and we will not.
Tenoshi Hour. Let's do it.
Hopefully we get good weather, go do some beer garden.
No, there's only Tenoshi Hour. Just have to plan our whole trip to maximize the 4 to 6 p.m. or whatever, 4 to 6:30 or whatever it is.
Go to the Trop, stay at the Trop in the Chelsea Tower.
Yeah, your room was pretty bad in the Chelsea Tower.
Not great.
I've never stayed there, so.
You're missing out.
Because I saw your room.
Yeah. And
decided it wasn't the best.
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so through our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at doforawin@gmail.com, and we will answer them on air.
We will.
Maybe. Pat G, your question will get answered next episode.
I know. I thought for sure we'd have data by now, but nope. No data.
Tomorrow. Oh, well. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening to our must-be 15th episode 277, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
But episode one of the Do for a Disney podcast.
Yeah, Do for a Disney. Do for porn slappers.
We are due for porn slappers.
Just like talking about it makes me feel like Disney sucks, and I overrated it by saying it was fine. Like, I will never go back to Disney, I don't think, because I did not enjoy it. The cruise was much better.